You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name is Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West Indianapolis Community News, and today we're diving into the offseason, sort of. I'm going to run through every key date that Pacers fans and people who are interested in the team alike need to know to really outline what the team can do this offseason. They have a lot of paths they could take, and a lot of the stuff that could happen really on any day, but these key dates are, you know, I think when the offseason will hit its turning point, so I think they're important to run through. So the first date would be right now to start at, but first I'm going to tell you that today's show is, of course, brought to you by the lovely people at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, you'll get $10 off your next order. So, let's start looking at the Pacers offseason with key dates, which is starting right now, because right now they're beginning their coaching search. They fired Nate McMillan last week. We'll even cover more McMillan stuff on this show coming up very soon. Kevin Pritchard set to speak with the media later today, Monday, so we'll talk about his comments later this week on the show, as well as more about the coaching search, but that is not even a key date to watch, but really this is just the right now. What are the things the Pacers can do to get the offseason rolling? The playoffs are still going, right? So the offseason has begun for them, but there is stuff they can do now, and that's the first thing is their coaching search, right? Who are they going to replace McMillan with? They can interview whoever they want. They can search around the league. But the problem is, you know, some of the guys they might want, mainly the, you know, the guy that's been actually named by ESPN, Mike D'Antoni, coaches a team that is still playing in the playoffs, the Houston Rockets. So interviewing him or having discussions with him about possibly coaching the Pacers can't really take place until the season is over. Now, another factor in this is, you know, that the Pacers want a program builder, quote-unquote, also according to ESPN, right? So they could interview guys who are available who fit that build. If they think Ime Udoka from the 76ers right now, they're done. They could possibly talk to him. Kenny Atkinson, not coaching a team, they could chat with him. You know, all those guys we ran through on Saturday, we ran through a list of a ton of guys the Pacers could look at and hire. Guys and gals, Becky Hammon also on that list that the Pacers could hire for this position. And a lot of them, you know, are coaching teams or not coaching teams right now that are available to interview right now. So there's a chance that the search leads to a hire now before D'Antoni even is available. I'm not saying that's going to happen. And I'd imagine they're not going to hire someone until they have resolution on D'Antoni. You know, John Hollinger of The Athletic, he used to work very high up in the Memphis Grizzlies front office. He tweeted that he'd been hearing the McMillan D'Antoni rumor since like November of 2019, which, I mean, rumors don't last for that long for nothing, right? There has to be, I always think there's something to that. So while right now is a date with, like, can hire a coach right now, they can be doing the coaching search and negotiating right now, I'm not necessarily thinking they're going to until they can talk with D'Antoni, so until the Rockets are out of the playoffs, or maybe even another team that may fire their coach, although I think every team left that's moved on to the second round will retain all their coaches, even most of the eliminated teams. But that is a right now thing to me. You know, maybe we'll start seeing stuff leak out about who the Pacers have interviewed or who they want to interview, but I would say right now the coaching search is on, but it will be a sped-up process whenever the Rockets are eliminated, whether that be later this week if the Thunder win the next two games, or, you know, if they lose to the Lakers, it could be in 2 weeks. Who knows? But that is one of the things right now. The other thing that is in the quote-unquote right now segment of this is the Oladipo potential extension, if they're able to do so or not able to do so, right? So Bobby Marks of ESPN, he's been writing offseason previews for every single team in the NBA. He broke the Depot extension talks down, right? So that they were able to actually extend him last offseason at the three-year anniversary of him signing the extension with the Thunder in 2017. And then as soon as the season started, they weren't. It was only an offseason thing. They were only able to do it in that offseason. And, you know, there was rumors about them offering him whatever, that 4-for-80 deal that was clear to everybody who covers the Pacers that it's an offer that basically just says, you know, if you don't think you'll ever be good again, or, you know, here's 80 extra guaranteed dollars that you wouldn't have had otherwise, or however much that would have tacked onto his deal, 40 extra million dollars, whatever. He didn't take it. He clearly is going to bet on himself, I think. But anyway, Bobby Marks broke it down well. They can agree, the Pacers and Depot, if they wanted, the max extension for him is like 4 years, $113 million. It's a lot less than his max as a free agent next summer if he does prove himself this coming season. And again, I think Oladipo betting on himself is what he's going to do. I don't think him turning down an extension necessarily means he wants out, though there are lots of signs that say that. I don't think turning down an extension would be one of them. But what they can only lengthen his contract to 5 years in total. So 4 years on top of next year would mean he would have a five-year deal with the Pacers running until he's 33 at a total of about $134-135 million, which, you know, if that's what he wants to do for the rest of his career, if he doesn't want to explore free agency, maybe he'll take that. But that is technically, they are able to negotiate that now that it is the offseason for the Pacers again, and it is past the three-year anniversary of him signing his last deal, his last deal in 2016. Excuse me, I misspoke earlier when I said 2017. So that's something they'll have to look at is evaluating what they want to do with the Depot extension. And we'll do a whole pod on stuff like that. But, you know, I think the most likely thing that happens is they'll talk and they'll say what they're willing to offer, or if they're willing to offer the max or whatever. And if they'll play out the season, unless Depot says he's not signing literally anything, including next summer, then, you know, the option two and three on Mark's list, two is play out the season, which is, you know, unless Depot says I want out, is what I think happens. And then trade number three is look for a trade partner. That happens if, you know, they offer him the max extension. He says, I don't want to, and I don't want to play here anymore, which I don't know that will happen. But, you know, it's always on the table with the way the NBA is these days and how quickly stars move around and stuff like that. But, again, I think the most likely one is, you know, even if, like if you're confident enough in Depot's playoffs that he just had, that more time to heal fully or closer to fully will make him look like the player he was before this season, then maybe you're willing to go 4-for-113 and hope he takes it. I don't know if I'm quite there yet if I was operating the Pacers, but I'd be getting close. He still was effective at times. He's got to cut down the turnovers. We all saw it. But anyway, that's something they can negotiate right now. I think those are important things to know for the Pacers offseason. What can they do right now? What can they start with right now? Now, that's not saying any of this stuff will be imminent, right? The closer we get to the draft and the more teams that get eliminated and enter their offseason, the more options that exist. So I think a lot of this stuff won't happen for a while now, but of course this is what they can in theory technically do right now, the decisions, and they'll be talking about all this stuff fluidly literally every day, but the dates are the hard cutoffs and stuff can actually happen. So that's the right now stuff. The next segment is actual dates to look forward to for Pacers fans when conversations can happen. So let's take a break and look forward at future important dates. So the hard part of looking forward is that, you know, kind of the dates of the offseason are sort of fluid, sort of. It's hard to perfectly explain it, but basically the NBA and the Players Association keep pushing back the day that they have to decide to, you know, keep going with the current CBA, basically, because they don't know what revenue is going to look like or what the next league season is going to look like. Now, pushing it back doesn't mean there's a disagreement. They just don't know. And it could end up altering a lot of dates, right? If the CBA isn't agreed to or any amendments aren't made by the draft or by the start of next league year, then a lot of these dates could change. But the first one cannot change. And I'm just going to go with the dates we have now. And if they get updated, we'll talk about them as the summer goes on. The first one is September 25th, 2020. So 26 days from now. What is important about that day? Well, that would be the three-year anniversary of TJ Warren's signed extension with the Phoenix Suns, which, as you just heard with Victor, means he becomes extension eligible. So what that means is that the Pacers could add to his deal, and after the playoffs he had, I'm sure they would definitely think about doing that because he was really good. The problem is that it's kind of hard to make that seem like his value, because the way veteran extensions work like that, instead of, you know, offseason where you can offer up to maxes or whatever, is extensions can only be 120% of the final year of the deal, right? So 2022 or 2021-22 season is the last year of Depot's deal. Warren's deal. So they could offer 120% of that. It's like 15-ish million. So, and the deal, like Depot's, cannot exceed 5 years in total length. So this extension they could offer with maximum raises would be something like just shy of 3 years, $50 million. At an average of like 17-ish million per year, a little under that. So that's close to fair for Warren. I bet he wants to bet on himself too, because, right, he just played amazing in the bubble, like obscenely good. So he might want to think, you know, maybe if I keep playing, I can make more than that when I'm actually a free agent at the end of this deal. So that would be the maximum extension for him would be 3-year, $50 million extension. They can officially agree to that any day, September 25th or later. Now, that could be a whole pod to discuss later in the summer, but the overview for me here is I think he turns that down just because his value could go up, right? The Pacers have shown that they can make him really good. And if he waits 1 year, he can base his extension off of a different year of salary, right, the last year, plus 8% raises, and adding a fourth year would mean that would be like a four-year, $70 million extension plus the last year of his deal. So that would be a lot more money per year, or a little bit more money per year, and he would be older, right? So maybe he would do that, waiting 1 year, see how it feels out with the Pacers, then signing the extension. I think he likes Indiana for all accounts. Teams made him look a lot better than he was in Phoenix. So I think it's more likely for both Warren and the Pacers that they wait a year to see and give him an extension in the 2021 offseason. But I don't think it's unreasonable that he would take 3 for $50. You know, that's not too far off his market value, most likely. You know, he really wasn't all that awesome in the playoffs. What kind of production are you paying for if you're paying for, you know, just regular season production? He was good in the playoffs, though. But I think that's worth monitoring. Is does he take a 3-year, $50 million extension? If he would, you know, that'd be great for the Pacers. They could operate with him as a core piece. He's shown that he is a key starter, can defend, can score. So I think they might try to negotiate that with him. But I would understand him turning it down and wanting to wait to sign an extension next summer, or even if he really goes off, waiting until a free agency to get a bigger deal than ever would have been expected from him. And then the other date I want to talk about in the second segment, I should have called this segment something beforehand, but I'm really calling this the other two dates prior to the 2021 season. So the official calendar flip date right now, usually it's the end of June, right, is the last day of one league season. And then July 1st, when free agency starts, is the first day of the next league season. So that obviously has been pushed back. Now, October 17th is the start of the new league season, and October 16th is the last day of the season before. And I believe the NBA draft, I'm almost positive of this. I have to look up all these dates because it's very complicated. But I think the NBA draft is the 16th of October this year, which is the day before, which is super interesting. But anyway, the reason that is a big date, obviously it's because it's the draft, right? The Pacers only have one pick. It's 54th. That's not the greatest thing ever. Who knows if maybe they make a move before then to get a first-round pick or move up in the round or something. They have a bunch of seconds in future seasons, stuff like that. Who knows if maybe that doesn't end up being their only pick or where they pick or whatever. But the reason that date is important is because, so there's a rule in the NBA called the Stepien rule, which states that you can't trade first-round picks in consecutive future seasons. So because the Pacers traded their 2020 first, the one in the coming draft, for Malcolm Brogdon, they cannot trade their 2021 first-round pick in any deal because of that until the draft actually begins or is over, right? So they can agree to a trade to trade their 2021 first starting on that last day of this offseason on October 16th because of the Stepien rule. If they wanted to take a swing at, you know, another star or package that with someone else they're trading to get someone awesome or use it to flip salaries in some way, I don't really know why they would trade two consecutive first-round picks, but it's not, you know, 2021 draft is shaping up to look pretty good too. But it's before the draft where, you know, there's a draft coming up. It's not clear which year it is, where there might be two draft classes in one, high school and college, when they get rid of the one-and-done rule. You don't want to trade a first that year necessarily. So maybe that would be the reason you trade your 2021 first, is to make sure you have the double draft first rounder. But they can't trade their 2021 first until actual draft night. And of course, the actual NBA draft is important. So I think that day is key because it opens up a few more trading possibilities for them. It increases their asset, the treasure trove that they can reach into. And of course, they'll pick someone at 54. TBD if that player will be on the roster next year, right? There's only really two roster spots available, maybe three. So we could talk about that at a future point as well. But you know, that's it. That's the draft day. That's when things change a little bit for them. Who knows what the roster will look like by then, but I thought that date was key to highlight. And the very next day after that, because of the timing of everything being changed, is the start of the next league year, which features the last dates I want to talk about. So let's move to the 2021 technical part of this segment. But first, we're talking about the people I mentioned to you early in this podcast. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. And they are now new and improved, and as Built Bar has described it as, delicious-er. So they sent me a box of all their first original 12 flavors, and they were really good. They're these chocolate-based protein bars that have, you know, various fillings and textures in them that are really good. I loved the mint brownie one. I loved the orange one. My girlfriend loved the peanut butter brownie one. They're all really good. And now they have six new flavors, you know, caramel brownie in there, cookies and cream, carrot cake. They just sound delicious, and they are delicious. I just haven't tried the new flavors yet. They're great for the health conscious guy. You know, they're a protein bar. They're high in fiber, high in protein, but low sugar and low calorie. So they're great for any kind of diet you're doing. And best of all, if you go to builtbar.com, use the promo code locked on, all one word, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use that promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com. So when we flip to October 17th, that's the official start of the 2020-2021 league calendar, although that season might just end up being named the 2021 season. But anyway, that first date, the 19th is when free agency officially begins. But the 17th is 2 days before that, which is important because there's two cutoffs for the Pacers that day. I just messed up a lot when I said October 17th is the league flip date in the last segment. It's actually the 19th. So the 17th is 2 days before that, which usually that would be June 28th. That would be the date that Alize Johnson's qualifying offer would be due and TJ McConnell's contract for next season guarantees. So let's talk about both of those things that will take place on October 17th through the Pacers. The league does not flip on the 17th, the day after the draft. The league flips the 19th. The draft is on the 16th. I got that part right. So the 17th, Alize Johnson's qualifying offer is the first thing I want to talk about. What that does is, if they want to keep Alize Johnson, they would offer him the qualifying offer, which for him is just a minimum contract. And by offering him that, that makes him a restricted free agent, right? So if Alize Johnson signs with another team, the Pacers are able to match whatever contract he signs with a different team and keep him. Or Alize Johnson could simply sign the qualifying offer, which would be for him a one-year minimum deal, and play it out with the Pacers. He'd be on their team with $1.5 million guaranteed for next year. I think he could he would be happy to take that. You know, he hasn't played much in his NBA career. He might not be necessarily in line for a lot of money or anything like that, unless he can find another thing. So, $1.9 million. So he might be, you know, willing to take that privy to getting another year in the league. But that's if the Pacers offer, right? They might decide, you know, we don't want to offer you the qualifying offer. We want the roster spot instead to see what we can do with it. Maybe they use that spot to get the 54th pick on the roster this year instead of keeping Alize around. That's a fine option. Although Alize has shown some potential. That last seeding game when he got a bunch of minutes, he looked pretty good. Maybe they want to keep that just in their back pocket just in case kind of stuff. And giving him the one-year minimum deal, not a big deal. Easy to kind of cut that guy or include him in a trade with no issues. So I think they might offer that. I don't know if I think he would take it if they offered it. So they'd have to be careful knowing that, you know, if they offer this, they're giving up the roster spot and the guaranteed money. But I don't know. I think he's showed enough that maybe you want to keep him around. The other one is a lot easier. TJ McConnell's contract for next season in the 2020-2021 season, $3.5 million. But only $1 million of that is guaranteed if he is waived or cut, basically, by October 17th. So, again, 2 days before the next league season. That would make him a free agent going into next year. And he gets $1 million even if the Pacers cut him, but he's due $3.5 million if they keep him. I think they would obviously keep him, especially at that low of a price. He was really good for the team this year, you know, surprisingly so almost. The only reason I think the Pacers would decide not to keep TJ McConnell around is because, you know, there could be a cap crunch next year. If the cap falls at all, the Pacers are going to be pushing the luxury tax line. And, you know, I don't think the Pacers want to be pushing the luxury tax line. You know, they might have to just cut ties with some guys they never thought they would, like Justin Holiday, because of the cap squeeze might not be in the cards for them. If they can find a way to get up TJ Leaf, maybe they do that. But anyway, the reason I think they wouldn't keep McConnell is there's a cap crunch and they want a little more room under the tax. But I think they'll keep him around for only $3.5 million. They'd only save $2.5 million in keeping him. I definitely think he's worth that. So I think that we'll go right past October 17th, and TJ McConnell will still be on the Pacers. They will not waive him. At that point in time, I've been wrong before. I thought they would keep Lance at $4 million 2 summers ago, and I was wrong. 3 summers ago? 2 summers ago, and he signed with the Lakers. So I've been wrong about those guarantees before, but I imagine they will keep TJ McConnell around. And then the date I was wrong about earlier, because I can't read the sheet that I typed out right in front of me, October 19th, free agency officially begins. Might be a boring period for the Pacers for something I just said. Now, the cap crunch, they're right up at it, even with they're only really losing Justin Holliday, Alize Johnson, and Jakarr Sampson's money from the team. They have 11 guaranteed deals now, 12 if you count McConnell. So only three roster spots if you include the second-round pick, only two. Right, it might be hard to keep Justin Holliday. If they can't get off of any money for free or they don't lose any money in some sort of trade, they're kind of stuck. They might just only have minimums and make it very boring and easy for agency to cover from this perspective. Who knows what they're able to do with that time. You know, I think they'd like to keep Justin Holliday, so maybe they make a move to open up space to do that. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's when the league officially flips to next season, and we can see what the Pacers decide to do in free agency. But, yeah, that is the off-season dates that I think are important. The first one being right now, when they can, you know, try to work stuff out with Vic, try to figure out who their next coach is going to be. Then again, September 25th, they can start making Warren, excuse me, on that day, Warren is able to sign a new extension. They can, I'm sure they can wink-wink negotiate before that date, but that's the day he can officially sign it if he wants it. The 16th of October is the NBA draft. The 17th, Alize Johnson and TJ McConnell have important decisions on their future, both with the team and in the league. And then on October 19th, free agency begins. So that's all in a month and a half. It's going to be kind of a quick offseason just because of the way this league has gone. The NBA playoffs are underway now. The second round has started, but you know they play every other day. It'll be over by about that time. It's going to be super fascinating to see how this all goes down. It's going to be a fun, interesting offseason for the Pacers. And, of course, we'll cover it all here on the Lockdown Pacers podcast. So thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow, me and Adam will break down Kevin Pritchard's comments and what the team is looking at doing going forward based on what he said. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.